Many churches today are talking about the miraculous. They begin with truth about God. He is an all-powerful, miracle-working God. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Spirit gives supernatural gifts to believers. They point to the Bible. It's full of miracles. They claim they have experienced the supernatural working of God. Therefore, they say, God is performing miracles today. More specifically, here is what they teach. Believers today should expect the miraculous. After all, in the Bible, God is always working miracles. He is also working in supernatural ways today. For example, He supernaturally provides money, provided, of course, that you give money to the preacher first. God supernaturally speaks to people today. He communicates directly with individuals, telling them what He wants them to do. Some have spiritual gifts, such as the word of knowledge, whereby God gives one believer a message for another person. God gives people the supernatural gifts of the Spirit, especially the gifts of tongues. There are other supernatural gifts, but most receive the gift of speaking in tongues. God miraculously heals people. He gives the gift of healing to some individuals, and He heals people if they have enough faith. God works miracles to convince unbelievers to come to Christ. He supernaturally tells believers which unbelievers they are to win to Christ. God works miracles to win people to Christ. Not all who believe that God is working miracles today agree with all of the issues I've just cited. For example, some insist that speaking in tongues is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Others teach that speaking in tongues is just one of the gifts of the Spirit. It is a prayer language. Nevertheless, a large and growing segment of the church preaches, teaches, and seemingly experiences the miraculous. Millions are persuaded that God is working in these miraculous ways today, just as He did in biblical times. Many, however, are skeptical. There are two problems with this teaching about the miraculous. Upon close examination, some so-called miracles in the Bible were not miracles at all. More importantly, a careful exposition of the Scripture indicates that what is being taught in these churches about miracles is not biblical at all. That leads us to penetrate the question, what does the Bible teach concerning the miraculous? This is not just an abstract theological question. There are ramifications for everyday living. This discussion comes down to practical issues such as, does God speak today? How does He speak? Does God work today? What does He do? How does He do it? Does He heal? How does He win people to Christ? Each of these topics need to be explored. What I'm going to do is begin with an overview of the miraculous in the Bible, which will answer the question, should we expect miracles today? Then I'm going to address specifically questions such as, does God speak today? Does God give sign gifts today? And does God use the miraculous to win people to Christ today? In this session, I'm going to concentrate on the first question, should you expect a miracle? The camera focused on his face. With a reassuring smile, the self-assured TV evangelist exhorted the viewers to expect a miracle. Testimonies are given of ordinary people who expected the extraordinary and experienced it. Scripture is quoted to support the supposition that God works miracles today. The message is explicitly clear. You, yes, you, ordinary, everyday Joe or Jane Christian, should expect a miracle. The slogan has caught on around America. I have seen plaques on the wall, signs on desk, bumper stickers on cars, as well as books and booklets, all proclaiming, "Expect a miracle." Christians are flocking to churches, offering music, a message, and a miracle. Pressure is on today. Those not experiencing the miraculous are made to feel that they are missing something. If you are not witnessing signs and wonders, you are missing the blessing of God. You're missing out. You're not measuring up. So let me ask, should you expect a miracle? Are miracles supposed to be part and parcel of the believer's everyday experience? To answer these questions of whether or not a believer should expect miracles, two questions must be answered. First, what is a miracle? And second, how often did they occur in the Bible? Those are the two questions we're going to address in the rest of this session. So let's begin with the definition of a miracle. Before defining a miracle, it is important to note that the Bible presents God as working in His world. According to the scripture, what people call the law of nature is the ordinary working of God in the natural world. For example, in Colossians 1, Paul says that in Christ all things consist, Colossians 1:17. The Greek word translated consist means to hold together. Christ holds together creation. He is, according to Hebrews 1:3, quote, upholding all things by the word of His power, end of quote. Thus, the natural world is a sign pointing to God. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." It is also a marvel and a wonder. In this sense, everything is miraculous and marvelous. Deism teaches that God created the world, wound it up like a clock, and left it to run by itself. He is detached from it. Natural laws run the universe. According to the Bible, the deistic idea of God is simply not true. God runs the universe. He is working in His world all the time. What then is a miracle? The Greek word translated miracles means power. The most basic observation concerning a miracle is that it is a manifestation of power. The power may be divine, Acts 2:22, or devilish and demonic, 2 Thessalonians 2:9. The way the Bible uses the word miracle is more than just power. The Hebrew word translated miracle in Judges 6:13 means extraordinary. It also means wonder. But the root idea is that which is distinguished from the ordinary. There is more. In both the Old and New Testaments, the Bible calls miracles signs and wonders. A miracle is a sign in that it points to something beyond itself. It is a wonder in that it creates amazement and astonishment in those who observe it. Therefore, a miracle is an extraordinary manifestation of supernatural power for the purpose of pointing to a truth, with the result of producing human wonderment. May I repeat that? It's critical to understanding the definition of a miracle, which is, a miracle is the extraordinary manifestation of supernatural power for the purpose of pointing to a truth, with the result that it produces human wonderment. The biblical picture of a miracle is the extraordinary manifestation outside the ordinary course of events. Two worlds exist side by side, and on occasion, someone in one reaches into the other. Life underwater is an illustration. When undisturbed, life under the surface of the water has a normal course of its own. If, however, a man standing on the bank throws in a stone or a hook into the water, effects are produced, which would be unexpected and extraordinary. To creatures living underwater, these events are miracles that cause them to wonder. The two worlds, above and below the water, are distinct from one another, but there is no barrier between them. They are actually in contact. The spiritual world is as close to us as the air is to the water. God, angels, the devil, and his demons can move from one world to the other. When it happens, one author says, quote, there is no suspension or modification of any law. It is just as simple as that. As George Stroke supposes, in the case of a miracle, a new agency has been interposed. End of quote. There are ramifications of this concept. One, a miracle may be a deviation from a known law, such as a resurrection. Two, a miracle may not be a deviation from a known law, such as God causing it to rain in answer to Elijah's prayer. The issue in that case was timing. Three, often a human agent is involved, that is, miracles occur at the command or the prayer of someone. The walls of Jericho could have fallen over by nothing more than an earthquake, but in that case, it was at the precise moment of the blowing of a trumpet. In all cases, whether a natural law was used or not, or whether a human agent was used or not, the basic idea is that a miracle is the extraordinary manifestation of supernatural power. The supernatural power, by the way, may be either divine or demonic. Now, what I've done so far is define a miracle. To repeat the definition, a miracle is an extraordinary manifestation of supernatural power. For the purpose of pointing to a truth, it's a sign, with the result that it is producing human wonderment, hence the expression signs and wonders, as the result of a manifestation of supernatural power. What I'd like to do next is talk about the number of miracles. How often did miracles occur in the Bible? To answer that question, we're going to simply survey the various periods of history in the Bible. The first period is called the Primeval Age. It goes from creation to Abraham. The first period extends from the creation in Genesis 1 to Abraham in Genesis 12. There are four miracles during this period: the creation itself, the flood, the confusion of tongues, and the translation of Enoch. Frankly, to evaluate miracles in the daily lives of people, this period should be excluded. Granted, there were miracles during this time, but these miracles were in a class by themselves. They were not performed through a human agent, nor they were not the type anyone would expect in his or her daily life. God is not going to create the earth again until he creates the new heaven and the new earth, according to Revelation 21:1. Nor is he going to judge the whole world again, as he did with the flood, until the time of the tribulation and second coming of Christ, Revelation 3:10. God is not going to confuse languages again. He has already done that. And no one would claim that God duplicates the Enoch episode all the time. Is it not interesting that from the creation to Abraham, a period of thousands of years, by every conservative method, there are only four miracles? The next period is the patriarchal age. The period of the patriarchs begins with the call of Abraham about 2100 BC and ends with the death of the last patriarch, Jacob. The book of Genesis, however, extends beyond Abraham through the life of Joseph, who died in 1806 BC. From Genesis 12 to Genesis 50, that is, from the call of Abraham to the death of Joseph, was about 300 years. How many miracles occurred during this period of the patriarchs? It depends on what is considered a miracle. Counting everything that could possibly call miraculous or a miracle, there are 8 during the period of the patriarchs, including the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, the birth of Isaac, and the turning of Lot's wife into a pillar of salt. God does not exactly destroy cities by fire, make 90-year-old women pregnant, and turn people to salt daily. Nevertheless, counting everything even possibly miraculous during the period of the patriarchs, there were 8 miracles in 300 years. All 8 happened during Abraham's lifetime, although not all happened to Abraham. In other words, there were 8 miracles in about 100 years, averaging 1 miracle every 12 years. Therefore, though a few miracles occurred during the period, it was not a period of miracles. Between the death of Abraham in 1992 BC and the call of Moses in 1447 BC, there are no recorded miracles in the scripture. There are 8 miracles in the space of 100 years. Then there are no miracles for 545 years. The next historical period is the Exodus, and we could add the conquest. The first season of supernatural was during the time of Moses and Elijah. The call of Moses occurred in 1447, and the conquest ended about 1393. That's a period of about 53 years. The first great miracle worker in the Bible was the mighty man Moses. During his 40 years of ministry, there were 33 miracles, including the burning bush, the 10 plagues, the crossing of the Red Sea, the cloud by day and the fire by night, the supply of water, manna, and quail, the 10 commandments written in stone by God, a judgment of death, a donkey speaking, and the death of Moses, which are 20 of 33 miracles. Moses' successor, Joshua, followed in his path. The conquest took place in 7 years. During that brief period, the Bible records 6 miracles, 3 of which are the victorious battle at Jericho, Ai, and Gibeon. As Moses crossed the Red Sea on dry land, so Joshua crossed the Jordan with the waters miraculously pushed back. In one of the greatest miracles since creation, the flood, the sun stood still. During the period of the Exodus and conquest, a period of about 53 years, there were 40 miracles, which is less than 1 miracle per day. The next historical period is the period of the judges. Joshua died about 1390 BC. Saul was crowned king about 1043 BC. So this period covers 347 years. What happened during the period of the judges of a miraculous nature? Basically, after the death of Joshua, miracles ceased. It could be argued that there were a few miracles during this period, such as Gideon's fire rack, or Gideon's fleece, or Samson's destruction of the Philistines, but there was nothing like the miracles of Moses and Joshua's time, neither in magnitude nor number. At best, there were a few miracles in 350 years. The next historical period is the United Kingdom. The same could be said for the period of the United Kingdom. Saul became king in 1043 BC, and the kingdom was divided in 931. For those 112 years, there was not much miraculous activity. The next period is the divided kingdom. The period of the divided kingdom extends from 931 to 586. There was not another series of miracles until the time of Elijah, which began about 858 BC. Thus, from the death of Joshua, 1390, to the beginning of the next period of miracles, 532 years passed with virtually no miracles. The second season of the supernatural was during the ministries of Elijah and Elisha. Dating this duo is difficult because exact dates are not given. Elijah and Elisha ministered in the northern kingdom of Israel from about 858 BC until 794 BC. During those 60 plus years, these two men worked miracles. How many miracles are attributed to those two depends on what is counted. One author gives Elijah and Elisha 11 each. Another points to Elijah's request for a double portion of Elijah's spirit and concludes that Elijah performed 8 and Elisha 16. Still another author lists 10 during the ministry of Elijah and 13 during the ministry of Elisha. Therefore, in the space of about 60 years, there were about 20 to 24 miracles, averaging no more than one miracle every 2 years. After Elijah and Elisha, there were only a few miracles, very few. Uriah was struck with leprosy, and Hezekiah's life was lengthened. Jonah had a whale of a ride. Daniel slept with lions, and the three Hebrew children survived the fiery furnace. But from the death of Elijah, 794, until the ministry of Christ, there simply were not many miracles. There are only two periods of miracles in the Old Testament: Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elisha. Moreover, many of the miracles in the Old Testament were miracles of judgment. The next historical period is of Christ and the apostles. During the ministry of Christ, and at least part of the period of the ministry of the apostles, miracles were once again performed. Jesus began his ministry about 27 AD, and the apostles worked miracles until about 60 AD. So for a period of 30 years, miracles occurred. Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest prophet who ever lived. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and fulfilled the role of being the forerunner of the Messiah. He came in the spirit and power of Elijah. Yet John the Baptist did not perform miracles. For that matter, neither did Jesus Christ for the first 30 years of his life. After his temptation and baptism, Jesus worked many miracles. Not all of them are recorded in the New Testament. Matthew alludes to 12 occasions when Jesus performed a number of wonderful works. Many authorities count 35 miracles performed by Christ himself. They're usually divided into three categories: miracles of healing, miracles of resurrection, and miracles of nature. There are other miracles during this time, such as the virgin birth. In the Old Testament, periods of miracles begun by one man followed by another, as in the case of Moses and Joshua and Elijah and Elisha. Likewise, in the New Testament, the seasons of miracles inaugurated by Christ is followed by the apostles. In the book of Acts, there is recorded some of the acts of some of the apostles. Not all of the miracles of all of the apostles are listed. Luke mentions at least 6 incidences of miracles by the apostles, as well as Stephen and Philip. 9 specific miracles are mentioned. There are other miracles during this period, such as the death of Ananias and Sapphira, and the miraculous prison release of Peter and Paul. In a period of about 30 years, from 27 AD to about 60 AD, Jesus and the apostles worked many miracles. Of the 3 periods of miracles in the Bible, this is the period of highest concentration. Counting the specific miracles and the references to occasions when a number of miracles occurred at one time, there were 12 individual miracles or days of miracles in 30 years, an average of about 1 every 6 months. Of course, the concentration is greater during the ministry of Christ and less during the time of the book of Acts. The miracles done by Jesus and the apostles were to confirm their message. We know that because of what is said about Jesus in Acts 2:22 and what is said about the apostles in Mark 16:17-20. They healed to relieve suffering, but that was secondary. The primary purpose of miracles was to authenticate the message of Jesus as the Messiah. That is why they're called signs. They point to something else, namely the message. To sum up what I've been saying, according to the biblical record, miracles, which are extraordinary manifestations of supernatural power, were rare. The subject of miracles must be kept in biblical perspective. Rationalists explain them away. To do so is not accurate. Some believers try to expand them. That is not appropriate either. The biblical balance is to recognize that miracles do occur, but they're not an everyday occurrence. In the approximate 2,100 years from Abraham to the apostles, there were only 3 periods of miracles: Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elisha, and Jesus and the apostles. Each period lasted less than 100 years. Furthermore, during the period of miracles, on average, there was only 1 miracle every 6 months to 2 years. Therefore, in the Bible, there are only 3 periods of miracles, and even then, miracles were not an everyday experience. One author says, God never intended for signs and wonders to be the characteristic of the daily life of believers in any age. From a biblical point of view, not all miracles are of God. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name, done many wonderful works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's in Matthew 7:21. In the future, the Antichrist and the false prophet will do signs and wonders. In the gospel, signs and wonders is only used twice, Matthew 24:24 and Mark 13:22. Both references are to the Lord's statements, the statement that the false Christ and false prophets will rise, showing great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. This is a reference to the false prophet during the tribulation. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, the Antichrist will come, quote, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Should you expect the miracle? If that means, should believers expect God to work extraordinary miracles in their daily lives, the answer is no. God never intended for that to happen. Some argue that the God of the Bible is the all-powerful, miracle-working God, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that the Bible is loaded with miracles, that the apostles did signs and wonders. Sign gifts are given to believers. Therefore, they say, of course you should expect a miracle. That issue is not that simple. Granted, God is all-powerful, and He works wonders. But He has never done that on a daily basis. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but that is a statement about His purpose, not His program. The Bible contains miracles, but even in the Bible, miracles did not occur every day. By the way, what kind of a miracle am I to expect? Can I expect to survive things like being cast down into a fiery furnace? How about a burning house or a burning car? Can I expect to survive being cast overboard and staying underwater for 3 days and nights? Or can I survive on top of the water by walking on it? Just to say that God can work miracles or did work miracles in the past does not mean that He will do so today. That sounds as if believers should not expect God to work in their lives, but that is not true either. Perhaps there are levels of miracles. The ordinary work of God could be called a miracle, but the Bible seems to reserve the term for extraordinary work of God. The Hebrew word translated miracles in Judges 6:13 means extraordinary. At the same time, a miracle is anything done by divine power to point to a divine truth with the result of producing human wonderment. God does work. God does exercise His power in the world. God does that in a variety of ways. Anytime God exercises His power, it is a miracle. Thus, there are miracles over nature, miracles of judgment, the destruction of cities and people, miracles of mercy, healing, miracles of timing, such as rain, miracles in believers' lives, conversion, and power for living. So let me ask again, should you expect God to work? Yes, God works. Yea, God manifests His power every time He regenerates somebody. He works in His people with power daily. Paul speaks of believers being strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. That's Colossians 1:11. Let me repeat it. God strengthens believers with all might according to His glorious power with all patience and long-suffering with joy. Believers are strengthened by God's glorious power. But what are they strengthened by God's glorious power to do? This is not power to work extraordinary miracles. The text says it is God's power to enable believers to be patient with joy. That is God working. It is the daily working of God in the life of believers. It is not what we normally think of as God working miracles, but it is God working in our lives on a daily basis. Elisha witnessed a miracle. An axe head floated on water. Candidly, I do not expect that kind of a miracle today, but I do expect God to work. If I was in a fishing boat, and I drop my pen overboard in shallow water, I would not expect it to float. I would look for it. I would ask God to help me find it. I would expect Him to help me do that. I would also expect Him to give me patience while I'm looking for it, and the grace if He chose not to let me find it. You need to know this. Number one, trust the Lord to work in your life. Number two, to avoid fraud, fakery, and false claims. Be all that as it may, surveying the miraculous in the Bible does not answer all the questions about the miraculous today. What about spiritual gifts? In the New Testament, God gave spiritual gifts to believers. What are they, and are they in operation today? Those are the questions we will address in subsequent sessions.